sick and hurting at this time. Father, we just thank you for your healing hand, and Father, we pray that you'll be with Mary Jane and help her protect her loved one's health. Father, we pray for those that are grieving loved ones this day, and Father, we pray that you'll be with them and comfort them. Pray that you continue to bless each one of us, and Father, we just thank you for your loving kindness for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Cook was a worker with Cooper Tire Company. And over 30 years, he was quality control with Cooper Tires, and he had two of his fellow workers that work with him today still living, and they were present there today at the service there in Clarksdale. It was a good thing to see them and to comment regarding him and his life and how helpful he was, how serious he was in regard to being sure that those tires were done correctly. I didn't realize that you could have some people who were unscrupulous in their behavior, and they would not put the right amount of material to make the rubber tire. They'd have some wood, they'd have some paper there and things like that to help it to be done, but they wouldn't have everything else right. But he would call them back to it, you know, and say, hey, wait a minute. The quality control is saying to you that this is not something we need to put out. All right, let me see here. Get this right and turn it on halfway right. Okay, good. Tonight our study is in regard to Noah and the incidents that took place in his life. He was a man of great faith in God and his will. And it is said there in Genesis 6 and verse 22, that thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. Thus did Noah. And he did what God said to do. And we read that he was spiritually minded in this way in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. When it is said about him, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of himself and his household, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness by faith. That man was faithful in what God had said. He'd never seen that kind of a deluge come that God had told him about. No one else had ever seen that kind of deluge come either. But because of his faith in what God said do, he built that ark of gopher wood with one door, one window, and all the specifications that God had listed for him. And it is said there that he moved with fear, respect, high respect for God. God had told him to make this ark and to prepare himself for the salvation of his household and himself. And he had obeyed God. But a guy in Woods one time was asked a question in regard to how many people back there would have been spared if Noah had been more successful as a preacher of righteousness for those 120 years of which Peter writes in his gospel about. And Brother Wood said, listen, if everybody had been as successful at saving their family as Noah was, there wouldn't have been a flood. You know, you think about that. He was successful in his sons, their wives, his wife, himself. Those eight souls were spared because of their obedience to God and being where God said be, in that ark. But as we go to Genesis chapter 9, we read about his lack of faith that came about and how it came about. In regard to this, instead of listening to just God's word and God's will, you find that Noah found himself enamored with the results of what he was doing on the earth. In Genesis 9, it is noted to you and me how that God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and of the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. So why do we catch fish today? because that's the way that God intended them to have a reaction to mankind. Mankind could fix up bait and on hook and here bring it in. And that's what happened. When my dad was growing up and everything, and along the way, he and cousin with him, Ralph Cockroft, and another cousin, Mr. Mann, they would go to the Big Black River, and they would set up trot lines on the Big Black River. I asked him one time, well, what about all of the mosquitoes that would surround you on the Big Black River? He said, well, we really never did concern ourselves with mosquitoes. He said, I imagine it was because the first thing that we did when we got there to the bank was we fixed up a fire. Green withes and everything were brought in, and it made a tremendous amount of smoke around us. We didn't mind being smelled of smoke because we didn't have any of those critters to jump on us and get our blood and everything. Undoubtedly, that was what it was. But Grandma Rawson, oh, she was thrilled that Junior, or she called him, R.V. Rawson Jr., that Junior had gone out there and gotten some fish. Because on those trot lines in the Big Black River, they could bring up some catfish. What you talking about? They were long and they were big and they were fat and they were good. And she knew how to cook them. As I understood later on, she cooked fish twice. She would get them in, and she would, if they had not cleaned them already, didn't have time to clean the mass that they had. Sometimes they did, but sometimes they didn't. She would clean them, and she would fix them up in a skillet, an old iron skillet, with plenty of lard in that skillet, and she would fry those things on both sides. Then she would pull them out of that, and she'd set them in a pan, and into the oven they would go. 250 to 300 degree oven, and she would bake them in there for about 30 more minutes. I learned later on that I call that she cooked them twice. But when she cooked them that way, they were tender, what you talking about, they were flavorful as they would be, and everything was just so good in that way. How'd they catch so many? Here we have it right here. And the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Who sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. This was a significant thing, and Noah was blessed of God, and no doubt ate well for quite some time. But we read about Noah's comments in regard to this and circumstance, when we read here in chapter 9, beginning at verse 16. And the bow shall it be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Of course, that's the rainbow that he set up in the sky to remind himself as well as mankind. This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Verse 17. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. And these are the three sons of Noah. Of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman. And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant, and shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. I want you to observe that Noah had faith in God enough to that during that time of time to build that ark as God had directed him to build it. And it is said he moved with fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. The world wasn't going to follow the ways of God. They wouldn't listen to his preaching and get in the ark. And as a result of that, it is said there regarding him, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. He had the kind of faith that was obedient to God's way. As a result of that, he was blessed in that faith. When you and I have a faith today that obeys God, we're the kind of people that our Lord and James talked about vividly when he talked about how that faith mixed with obedience, with works of obedience. You see, there are four kinds of works named in the pages of the Bible. Three of them do not save us, and we need not expect that they'll save us. Being a good person and having a good reputation in the community, right and left, does not save us. Good works of our own accord, for our own purposes, do not save. That is clearly noted to you and me in the pages of the Scripture in this regard. When we read passages like found in Ephesians 2, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, hath he saved." And in Titus chapter 2, in reference to blessings from God, he blesses those who obey him. Now, when we obey God, it's not by our own personal work of reputation and favor that we find blessings from God. Jesus said to the people in John chapter 8, in this reference, he said, "You of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do." He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Even so do you. These things of the works of the devil do not save us. If we're doing works of the devil in disobedience, telling lies and falsehoods, misrepresentations, being in sinful ways without the flesh, we find ourselves in this way not approved by God. Works of our own righteousness do not save us. Works of our own ways of the devil do not save us. The third group that is mentioned by Paul in reference to this is in Galatians 5 and verse 4. The works of the law of Moses do not save us. He says regarding the works of the law of Moses that they had led us to the Christ, that we might be justified by that faith obedience. But today we look back to the law of Moses, and people sometimes will say, "If you obey those Ten Commandments now, you'll be saved." And they cite the rich young ruler who came in Matthew 19 to Jesus and said, "All these things you tell me to do, I've done from my youth up. What lack I yet?" You'll notice the things that Jesus said to him to do were the things that he quoted from that Ten Commandments that dealt with man's relationship to his fellow man. "Thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, bear false witness." Those are things that you don't do with your fellow man. But this good man forgot and left out number one. "I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And his money was his God. He couldn't see any way he could do without it. The Scripture says he walked away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was that kind of a man. He heard the word of God. He heard the word of eternal life. But he could not give it up, because God was not his God. God no doubt would have blessed him. He would have been successful no matter what. But he didn't see that. He couldn't see that because he never thought about God being his God. And as a result of that, number one, he was not in a saved condition. He walked away sorrowful. Jesus, it is noted to you and me, loved that young man. He saw him, and when he had said all these things you said about my fellow man, I've done from my youth up, what lack I yet? The scripture says that Jesus looked upon him and loved him. And that word looked upon him is used in the term of he lingered his look upon him. And he really admired that young man for what he had done. A lot of people in life could not say that. They couldn't say that they had been this way to their fellow man. But he could say that with honesty and earnestness, and Jesus loved him for it. But Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now come and follow me. Can you imagine being told that and not doing what Jesus said do? With our background, what we had, what would we do? If we were told by Jesus plainly this statement, one thing you lack, go and sell what thou hast, what you've attained, give to the poor, come and follow me, and you shall have everlasting life. I think most of us in our day and time would give up whatever we had to have that promise assured of everlasting life. We'll live on life's other side in the spiritual climb of God, in heaven itself, where Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. I feel certain that Noah was forgiven of God, that he was sorry for what he had done in this bay, and his time of drunkenness about this, and nakedness that he was in. And as a result of that, he found himself forgiven by God. But Hebrews chapter 11 doesn't deal with that side of Noah's life. He deals with the side of his faith in building the ark for the saving of his household, by the which he condemned the world and became the servant of righteousness, which is by faith. That's the way that we're to do. Let's not get so caught up after we find ourselves in salvation, coming forth from the waters of baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Let's not think within ourselves, okay, I can be anything I want to be now. I can do anything I want to do now. I can be any old sinner for way that I can do. And I'm still okay with God. Simon Peter will write 2 Peter 2 about this. And he'll say that those that have once been delivered, once been saved from sin, if they are tempted again and overcome by that sin, that they have become like the sow washed back going to the mire, and like the dog that was sick going back to his vomit again. He tells them that they were not right with God as they continued on. They once were made that way, once were clean, once were new. But they went back to practice the old way of life that they once lived. They knew it well, and they went back to practice it. No doubt they were quiet about it. No doubt they were secret about it. No doubt they were away from the family and others, other friends about it. But if, in fact, we don't curse among ourselves as brethren, we hold it. Then it's at the workplace, or then it's at the place of the game that's ongoing. We find ourselves in the profane words and mannerisms of life. Let's remember that there was one back here who was faithful to God and dead obedient to God, and he was saved in a time of a great flood, diplomatic of the judgment bar of God today. but that he was man who went back to a way of life because he liked the flavor of it, the taste of it, and the ways of it. And he committed great wrong. Let's not do that. Let's be people who honored that way that we came into, that new way of life that we now walk, and be faithful to it. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, come to stand and receive this song together.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Do we have anyone tonight who needs to take the Lord's Supper?
Well, we're going to go to business meeting after the service tonight. It's turn number 148. After this song, Gene, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim, all His hosts together praise Him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, O ye heavens, and ye floods above the sky.
leaders and peacekeepers also involved, that they too may be able to hold the peace. Go with us now through the rest of this service and through our lives. And be with us again until we can meet again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.